have a, I don't even see, I don't see a piano player. Okay. Let me find a song. Bro, Alan, what is the song called? I always remember looking it up. There's Coming a Day. What's it actually called? It's not called that.
What a Day.
What a Day. Is that what it is, how it goes? What a Day? Is that in this book? What page is that? And if you know it really good, I'd like to see you come up here and lead it, brother. All right, we'll just go with that. I don't know what it is. We're going to go with it. Everybody stand to your feet. We'll go ahead and sing number 300, and then we'll let Brother Alan come up here and do the opening. We can turn that off.
All right. I can almost guarantee you there's more at Awana than there are in here right now. But that's fine. That's what we want. We want to have prayer requests now. I did get, or my wife got a text today from Susan Swindoll. Her husband, Mark, the doctor, has COVID, and asked that we mention that tonight, and I'll pray for Mark Swindoll. And who would be next now with a prayer request? Okay, unless you remember that. If I could interject, Natalie had a request a couple of weeks ago about possibly melanoma. How did that turn out?
It's clear.
Ah, great.
I have one that was removed.
All right. Great. I had sure been praying and wondering about that. All right, who would be next now? He passed away, okay. All right, who would be next now? Okay, unless you're all. All right. Unless you're all remember that now. Okay. A lot of COVID going on. And let's always try to remember the members we know that do have COVID. I was thinking of Frieda Russ and some of her family members that have it. And there was someone else. The name escapes me now. Gary Jones, how could I forget? Yeah, Brother Gary, let's sure remember him. But he was doing better, I think, the last word I got from him. All right, anybody else now? We can sure accommodate that.
Amen.
And that's not a requirement for salvation, but it is a good thing to do. The Lord told us to do that. So I'll get with Dave, and we'll certainly take care of that. All right. Anyone else now?
Would you guys? I know the COVID-19 thing is really bad. And when we talk about different stuff, but in this new job position that I have at school now, I'm getting to kind of see the hood pulled off of what our kids deal with at home. And I just like to pray for the children of our community. I don't think people have an idea. They just don't know what some of our kids go through on a daily basis. Yeah. some of the families are dealing with things that I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they do it. And I just, my heart just goes out. I'm burdened for our kids of our community. And just pray that, I mean, where it says in the Bible that the fields are white to harvest, they truly are. And they just need to send people out and tell people about the gospel, because kids are starving for the truth. And just pray for our community.
Yes. That's all. Remember the kids. Anyone else now? All right, if I could, I'd ask, please, Brother Ron, to lead us in prayer over these matters here. Amen. Brother Sean.
All right, if you guys will open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to teach on something. I know I've got Natalie and Justin sat back there that's going to hear a little bit of a repeat of a lesson that I taught in Sunday school, but that's okay, because I've never, as far as I know, as any time I've ever taught or preached anything, I've never told it the same way twice, so it ought to be somewhat different. And if it is the same, and I wonder about that sometimes. I know as an educator, sometimes we get all caught up in the fact that, well, they already learned that when they were in sixth grade. Why would we need to teach that again? And I'm thinking, man, I hope I don't get taught something just one time. I need to be taught a lot, and repetition is a good thing. Is that good? And but anyway, so if you will, turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and follow down there about verse 40. And I'm just going to talk about, I want to kind of give you a mindset, and again, I want to give you a background about what's going on here, and I told this in that Sunday school class the other day. There's certain things that I like. I don't know about you guys, but when it comes to the Bible, there's certain things I just like to ponder on. I like to sit back. I like to think about them. I like to think about what it was like. I mean, I'd like to think about what the days was leading up to the flood. You know what I mean? I like to think what was that countdown like? Because it had to have been much like the countdown now, as we see ourselves counting down to Jesus breaking the eastern sky. I mean, it has to be, because any moment it could have started raining, and just like at any moment Jesus could come back to take us home. And so it's the same thing. So I like to sit and ponder upon things. I like to think about how things might have been. And one of the things that I ponder upon is Jesus's life on this earth, and not just the 3.5 years that seem to be very well documented. I think very often about the time from after he was born to the time he was 30 years old. And I just wonder about it. I just sit and think about what it must have been like to have been around him, to have been associated with him, just to be in his presence. I mean, how would you like to him been your friend, your best friend? I mean, your mama would have been jumping onto you for every bad thing you did, and he never got in trouble. I mean, it would have been like, man, you making me look bad, buddy. You know, and he would have been rough always going around with Jesus around. I mean, he would have been, I mean, if he was, like if you was one of the younger siblings in the family, you would have been looking up every time somebody was in trouble, Jesus was not in trouble. And I just think about it. I just always, I sit and think about it because it was sort of like growing up with Eric, because mom never jumped onto Eric for nothing. But it was, he was her favorite, just to let you guys know. But as far as that goes, and see, Chris is nodding in the back there. But no, he's not. Chris thinks he's a favorite. But the truth is, I just like to think about things like that. And so when I start pondering upon it, I start thinking, well, what was it like when Jesus was 5 years old and 6 years old? What was it like when he was 10 years old? What was it like? I mean, what was a daily routine for Jesus Christ? And there's not a lot of insight into it in the Bible except for one of the places we're going to talk about today. And so I want to kind of go into the way the Lord kind of showed it to me, thinking about Jesus in his regular day and the way that it just kind of laid out in my life, the way that, and that's something that I think that the Bible is very good at. I think it's very good for application, meaning that I can read something that happened with any of the characters that's in the Bible, and I can find an association in my life that I can correlate to, so that I can see and learn a lesson from it. But at the same time, I also understand this Bible is written in certain ways to certain different types of people during different times. But there's always a lesson for me to learn. And so in this part of here, I want to give a little bit of a backstory, and I want to understand that Jesus is now up to the age of 12 years old. He has whatever has happened. He has been there in his family. He definitely has siblings that's younger than him by now. He definitely at this time has probably been taught his stepfather's business at this time. I mean, there was a reason why they called him a carpenter, the carpenter's son. There's a reason why. And you all know that if we have a 12-year-old son, I remember when Gabe was a little boy, we would go squirrel hunting, and I remember there was a steel gate that used to be there, and Mike knows what I'm talking about already. There was a steel gate that went across the front of it, and I still remember him putting Gabe up on that and say, watch my boy walk across that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he was teaching him to one day walk across a piece of steel. That's what we do. We just learn what our fathers teach us to do. So he was probably learning his stepfather's Joseph's occupation. He was going along, so he would have been there. And so when I think about his life, I think about Jesus Christ driving a nail, which I know to think about that, or fashioning something, or taking a saw and sawing something and building something with his hands. That had to be something different for him. I mean, think about it. Just think about it. All he had to do when he got ready to put the foundations of the world together was to speak. To speak. And now all of a sudden he's having to get out a ruler of some type, measure something, make it fit, and all he's ever had to do in his entire existence, I mean, which is always, is just speak. And he could have anything he wants because he's God Almighty. So for me, so when I get into this, I start thinking about what was that like for God? And, you know, when we say that there's nothing that God, you can't teach God anything, you can't do anything. But at the same time, there was experiences that God went through at that time that he had never been through. He had never experienced. And that's kind of neat for me to think about. And what I think, and one of the reasons why I think that he puts these things in the Bible for us to read is for us to understand that he knows where we are, what we go through, because he's been there. And that's a powerful thing. Now, I've got school teachers in here. I've got Jamie. I've got Gretchen. Am I looking over any other school's teachers? I know I've got school teachers in Beth and different people that teaches in the school system and knows what I'm talking about. When we start talking about teaching, you know, sometimes it's hard to get people to learn. You know what I mean? It's hard to get people to adhere to anything different. But when it comes to the Jesus situation, could you imagine being the person that was given the job to instruct the Son of God? I just couldn't imagine having that job. I couldn't imagine having the job, the Joseph had. Hey, my dad. Mike knows. Well, heck, Mike, any of these people. I mean, if I messed something up, it was like really bad. And so I could imagine if the situation that you've got Jesus and he's saying, hold that there. Make it this long. Do it this way. I just couldn't imagine it. And it's neat for me to ponder upon Jesus' early life. But anyways, so we'll start reading in verse 39. And I'll just kind of stop throughout and we'll get here. But the thought that I want you to have on your mind is that always in Jesus' life, from the time he was born to the time he was nailed on the cross, and I believe it's still true today, he was always about his Father's business. And that's the thought I want us to kind of drive home today, or this evening. So in verse 39 it says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law that the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth." And it says, and this blows my mind, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Now, I can't go past that without going back to the beginning. And I said this in my Sunday, in the Sunday school class. It says the child grew. Could you imagine that God grew? That's the first time. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, and he says that he grew. And that humbles me a little bit because we get to a point as Christians where we start thinking to ourselves, we have arrived. I know all I need to know about the Bible. I've done this and I've done that. I've done my, no one needs to tell me anything. It doesn't time for me to learn anything. And then I find out that Jesus took the time to grow. And that tells me as a Christian, there should never be a time, ever be a time that I'm not willing to grow in the Lord. There should never be a time that I shouldn't be able to crack this book open and find out what the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that's hid in this book ought to be ready to grow, because he did. And if he was willing to grow, what a lesson for me. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords grew. And it blows my mind to think about. It goes on to say that he waxed strong, because it wants you to know, it wants you to make sure you know what you need to be strong in. It says to he waxed strong in the spirit. Well, how do we become stronger spiritually? This morning, yesterday morning, I got up and I went to work and I made sure I was at work before 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's because I want to start my day as quickly as possible. I want to make sure that I'm there. I want to have all my, anything that's going to pop up during the day, I want to be ready. And so what I'm doing is I'm waxing strong in the physical things of this world. But long before that happens, when I wake up in the morning, I crack open this Word of God, and I spend some time with my Lord. And I flop over there to the book of Proverbs, and I start reading, because he made some promises to me that if I would ask, he would freely give me wisdom. If I would just seek him early, I'd find him. And I start thinking to myself, well, if I'm going to grow, I need to quit worrying as much about growing in my job or growing in, and of course I'm growing physically because every time I eat something, it seems like I'm putting on 10 pounds. But I'm saying I don't need to worry about the physical part of this world and start worrying about growing spiritually. And when does that stop? I believe it stops at the grave. I believe we ought to be willing to grow spiritually every day. And that's what he's saying. He waxed strong in wisdom, in spirit. And so it goes on to say, he was filled with wisdom, and that's how he did this. This book, this old King James Version Bible, and I'm not apologizing for that, this old King James Bible, it's the inerrant Word of God. I trust it's the Word of God. I believe with all my heart the Word of God, and I believe that written in these pages is the wisdom that I have to find, and it'll make me grow spiritually. And I need to hide these words, and the Bible talks about hiding his words in our heart. I know this, that any time that I am close to the Lord, And I'm talking about I've done my Bible reading, I've been praying, I've been searching the scriptures, I've been doing what I was supposed to do, and some problem pops up in my life and I need wisdom to discern on how to handle that problem. If I am strong in the Spirit and I have been feeding my spirit through that week, and all of a sudden these scriptures start to come forward as I need to make decisions, and all of a sudden these, you know, the Bible talks about me not needing to be jealous, and it talks about all the different things about how I need to handle that day, that situation, that particular moment in life. All of a sudden these scriptures begin to pop out in me, because that week I fed the spirit more than I fed the flesh. And all of a sudden I was able to handle whatever was there because I had waxed strong in the spirit. And it gave me the wisdom to handle and discern that moment. Anyway, so it tells me that Jesus' life, even at 12 years old, it's already showing me how I'm supposed to be the kind of man that I'm supposed to be today as a Christian. It says in verse 41, it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the customs of the feast. And again, I talked about this in our Sunday school, but I want you to liken it unto something. I mean, we don't have the feast, you know. We get into that. And I remember back when I was young, Brother Milford went through some detailed lessons on the feast, and I remember all those, and it was really cool, and I still to this day, it's some of the best learning that I've ever learned in my life about going through about each feast and all the things of the tabernacle and all the different components of the tabernacle, and it was a great study we went through. But one of the things I think that happens to Christians today is that we start disassociating the feast with what he's trying to tell us here. Every year, they went to the feast. Every year. So that tells me that it's something like we do every year when we have Thanksgiving. Every year, Brother Allen, they went home and went to their family and got together with family. And that means when they went to that feast, they got together. And so it would be like I would go and I would just come like Hunter and all the kids would come over, and then they would all be able to play with their grandkids, and then everyone starts exchanging stories and starts talking about that. And I want you to think about a moment when you come in with your kid and you start saying, hey, this is my boy, and then Mary walks in and says, yeah, but this is my boy. It'd be rough having Jesus in the family, wouldn't it? It'd be a little bit different when they walk in and they've got Jesus sitting there in the family. And I told them in Sunday school, I can remember when I was people coming together, Betty came in one time from Hawaii, and she brought Scott with her, and my mom, she goes, oh, I can't wait to see your little boy. And she goes in, and he was laying there on the floor, and she starts rolling down the quilt, and he wasn't no little boy no more. He was like a great big giant kid. And that's what happens. We go home and we see each other's families. And what he wants to know is that Jesus knows what it's like. He's been to family outings. That wasn't the first one he went to. The Bible says he went every year. And he got together in the family, and the families got together at the feast. So it tells me something, that we need to understand that in this country today, and we're going through COVID situations where they're telling us that we don't need to be together. And I am telling you that Christian families need to get together, and they need to talk about what God's done in their life, and they need to make sure that the kids of this country understands that there's a God in heaven that was nailed to a cross. We need to all get together and completely keep telling each other the good news of the gospel and what God's done in our lives. I need to be telling a story about when we didn't even go to church, and all of a sudden God found us at our house. He came to my house. He sought me out. And I ought to be willing to tell my family. They ought to all know the stories about how my dad got saved, how I got saved, how my brothers got saved. It ought to be just written in their hearts. Because we ought to be getting together at family outings, and it ought to be what we talk about when we get together. Because when we talk about Thanksgiving, the most thankful thing I've ever done is the day I bowed right here on this spot and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. It's the greatest thing ever happened to me. Yesterday I had a young man that told me that he said, I just feel like something bad's going to happen. I'm just feeling this pending doom. He goes, I'm just worried.
I'm thinking, you know, he's just a young 16-year-old boy. What in the world could you be worried about? He said, I just feel like something bad's going to happen. And he looked at me and said, I'll be honest, Coach West, I'm worried for you. You know what I told him, Brother Al? I said, son, listen to me. Take that one off your list. Because if I quit breathing today, I'll lift my eyes in glory. You don't have to worry about old Sean West. I know in whom I have believed. And I know in whom I've trusted. And he's able to keep that which I've entrusted to him against that day. I know that. I have no doubts. I know what I've done. So I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ, could you imagine at his family get-togethers when he got together? Some of them might be talking about their grandpa. They might be talking about their situations happened in the past. Could you imagine when Jesus started talking about his heavenly Father? Could you imagine the stories that Jesus Christ would be able to tell about the future that was going to happen for the nation of Israel and all the things that God had laid out for them? I mean, could you imagine? You could be hanging on every word that he said. According to what we're fixing to read, he confounded them with his wisdom. They were blown away by it, by his questioning, by everything about it. But anyways, it says here again in this thing, from year to year, they get together at the Passover. And it says in verse 43, and when he had filled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. I'm sorry, I can't see now that I'm going to have to wipe my eyes. Verse 43. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So I want you to think about something. And I want you to think about the fact that, I want you to think about how busy our lives are right now. And like today at work, I went in and I had a meeting at 8:30, and when I raised my head up, it was 3:30, and my day was done just like that. It's just like, boom, my day was over. And I get to thinking about how fast things happen. And I remember there was a time in my life where I thought when I got older I'd have more time. I mean, I did. I always thought, well, I'll have more time someday. Well, I've yet to find that time yet, okay? I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when that's going to be where things slow down and I have more time. But as of right now, at 56 years old, it has not happened yet. My day's busy. And I find that in my day, my daily walk with the Lord, that sometimes I leave him behind. Sometimes in my daily journeys, I forget him. I forget to take him. And I know the Bible says he'll never leave me, forsake me. But there's another part. He may never leave me, but there is times that I leave him. And he may go with me, but I may not acknowledge he's there. And you understand that Joseph and Mary had got so involved in their life. They got so in such a hurry that they forgot the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They didn't account for him. And so it tells me that even if you say to yourself, well, you know, if I was just a little more dedicated, well, our human nature is that in the end, we all seem to do the same thing. We start strong, and then all of a sudden, the life's hustle, bustle situations begin to hone in, and then next thing you know, what we were fired up about yesterday becomes old news. And I remember the day that I got saved, and I could not wait to tell somebody about Jesus. I want to tell everybody about how I got saved. I want to tell everybody about what happened to me. And I often think about that zeal that I had at that moment. Where did it go? Why don't I have that same zeal today to want to tell as many people about Jesus as I can? Why isn't it there right now? Why don't I have that? And it has to do with the fact, and I think it's true, again, when we talk about the tabernacle, why every time you enter somewhere, they had a place to wash your feet. It's because the more time we spend in this world, the more dirty we get in this world, and the more we forget about the things of God. And I think they forgot about Jesus. I think they got bustled up. You know, and I told, I don't know if I told this in Sunday school, but I mean, there was a time, one time, and I was going to a, I was taking a bunch of kids to a youth camp. And we were going to do this big youth camp, and we got ready to go, and Patty wasn't going to be able to be there at the beginning. She was going to drive up there and meet her, or meet us. And so she gave me the responsibility to take the kids. I don't know what she was thinking. And so I had all the kids, so I had all five kids. And actually, I did not. I had four of the five kids. She wouldn't let me have Emily. Emily was real little at that time. So I had four of the five kids, and Delaney was like 6 years old. And I still remember this. I got in the van, and I was pulling out, and I looked back, and the other van stopped, and they was letting my daughter Delaney into the van. Now, I've tried to tell my wife that I knew they were going to get them, but the truth is I forgot my own daughter, and I left her standing in the church parking lot. And my wife was very upset. It didn't matter how I turned that, how I spent that. I forgot my daughter, and today she won't let me by with it. I've tried to say that I knew, but the truth is I forgot my daughter. So we can get so busy with the daily minutia of life and forget about what our Father's business is of the day. And we have a purpose. There's a job to be done. There's something we're supposed to be doing. And Jesus was heavily focused on that job. His mother and father, his mother's stepfather was not heavily focused on that job. They apparently was more interested in what was going on in the feast, more interested in getting back home, making sure they got packed up and leaving. But they wasn't ready for that part of it as they should, because they didn't know where Jesus was. It says here, it says, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And I think it's ironic that it says in here that he said they sought him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. So in this part of it, it becomes very evident that in my life, and I don't know if I used this example before, but in my life, when I was a kid, my mom used to get us around in a circle, and I think I've told this many times in here before, and we would pray at night. We would have to hold hands, and I literally could not stand it. And my brother's hands were sweaty, and I didn't want to, and we had to hold hands in a circle. It was awful. We was all in our underwear, and we was in a circle, and my mom was there, and she was leading us in, telling us we were going to pray with. She usually had a Bible study that went on, in my opinion, way too long at the time. And so we were there, and it hurt to be on your knees, and I just thought it was the worst thing in the world. But there we were in our circle around there praying. And now I look about that, and I think to myself, have I let that become my family and acquaintances that's doing that job for me? For instance, did I just go ahead as life went on and let my mom be that person not only to me, but also be that person to her grandkids for me? Did I let the job of my father's business that I should have been doing, did I just let that job fall on other people in my family? Did I let my dad be that guy? Did I let other people? And I said, well, I don't have to worry about spreading the gospel to my family. My mom will do that for me. I don't have to worry about being the good guy because my dad will be that guy. I could hand that off to somebody else in the family. Let them worry about what the job of Jesus is and doing our Father's business. Maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe someone else. Or even more importantly, I can hand that off to acquaintances. Like, for instance, I can say, man, it's the job of the deacons to go and spread the gospel out. It's the job of the pastor or the Sunday school teacher. It's the job of somebody else. And I'll just hand the job of Jesus off to somebody else. Next thing you know, I've went a day's journey and I don't know where Jesus is. And next thing you know, I need him. I mean, I need him. There's something happening in my life and I got to have Jesus in my life at that moment right now. And I went a day's journey without him. Maybe my kid's in trouble. Maybe somebody's in trouble and I need to talk to him about the Lord, and all of a sudden I'm not that person in their life. But I want to tell you something. I've always known. If I need somebody to pray for something for me, I need to tell my mom. I need to tell my dad. Because I knew that one of the scariest things that happened to me in my lifetime is the day my dad passed away. And it isn't for the reason, you guys, because I miss him like I miss air. But the main thing I miss the most about my dad is I knew that every day he prayed for this guy standing right here, and it scares me that he ain't here to pray for me anymore. You understand? So then it comes down to, what have I done? How's my prayer life? Am I just letting the acquaintances and my other family members have the responsibility of being about my father's business? Or am I making sure that I'm about my father's business? That I make sure that my prayer life is what it ought to be? That I'm making sure that I'm praying for my kids? That I'm telling them about Jesus? That I'm making sure that they see me and see Jesus in me the way it's supposed to? And I shouldn't depend on other people to do that job, because I should be about my father's business. I should be working for God like I should. It shouldn't just be that I've gone a day's journey. Notice the next part of the scripture. It says in here this, in verse 45, it says, "And they found him not, and they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him." It says they went a day's journey. I want to tell you something. Every time I've ever went a day's journey and got out of the will of God, it was always a long journey back. Now, I'm not saying he didn't forgive me immediately, but I'm saying it always cost me something. It cost me more than it should have. It was a day's journey without him, but it was 3 days' journey to get back where they was. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? So you get about your father's business and you're not doing the job that you're supposed to do, it might cost you something. It might cost you this. One day when you want to witness to somebody in your family and they don't count you as someone that they want to listen to. And I want to be that person. I want to be that person that when one of my grandkids come to me and they want to know about Jesus, I want them to run to me and to ask me about my Savior Jesus. I want them to think, I can go to my grandfather and he'll tell me about Jesus. I want to be that guy in their life. I want to be that person. I want them to know that I'm about my father's business. I want them to know it. I don't want to be three days' journey away to where they don't hold what I say with very much value. It goes on to say this. In verse 45, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. So it goes to tell me that if I'm going to find Jesus, there's certain places he's going to be. He's going to be wherever it is where they're studying this thing right here. Wherever they're studying this thing right here is where he's going to be. If this church is studying this book like they're supposed to be, this right here is where he's going to be. This is where Jesus is going to be. He's going to be wherever he's uplifted and glorified through his word. That's where he's going to be. And I ought to always be able to find him in those places. I ought to be able to look for him. I ought to be able to find Jesus in the pages of this book. And somebody that's about their father's business, he's going to be well-versed in this Bible. He's going to know what's in here. He's going to be able to sit and say, I know this book. Let me tell you what this Bible says. And so you find Jesus. He's right where he's supposed to be. He's in the temple. Verse 47, it says, "And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Now I want to ask a question. Did she tell the truth right there? Did she speak the absolute truth? Number one, she knows something. She knows something for a fact. Is Joseph her father or his father? He is not. Did she overstep her bounds there and try to criticize? I want to tell you something. We need to make sure that everything that we're ever doing, anytime we're ever working in this, we need to make sure that we are absolutely adhering to what the Word of God says. We ought to make sure anytime we question anything, period, we ought to make sure it's a biblical question. Do you understand what I'm telling you? We ought to make sure that, like, for instance, if we're saying, well, I don't know if we ought to be doing this, or I don't know if we ought to be doing that, Instead of what we think shouldn't matter, it should only matter what this book says, period. It don't matter. I mean, if the Bible says I'm supposed to tithe 10% of whatever my first fruits are, guess what? I should tithe 10% of the first fruits, and it doesn't matter. And here's the truth of that matter. It's God's anyway. It's all God's. All he's requiring from me is the 10% of it. So I ought to do whatever it says. If it says in this book that I ought to walk circumspectly, I ought to make sure that every decision I make, I ought to do it as wise as a serpent, as gentle as a dove. You know what I ought to do? I ought to walk wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove in everything I do. I ought to seek him out because I want to be about my Father's business. I ought to listen to everything that he says in this book. It's what I ought to do. So it comes down to some things. If I'm going to be about my Father's business, I got to get my book right. I got to make sure that I'm studying this word, and I don't ever need to sit and try to mince words, because she was mincing words right here. She was trying to act like that she had offended his father. Do you think that he had offended his father? In no way. Because God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And God Almighty was never offended with Jesus Christ, because he always did the work in the business of his father. So she misspoke. She also said, she dealt with us, behold, thy father, and I have sought thee sorrowing. Now listen to Jesus' response. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? And there's going to come a day. This is the truth, guys. This is a fact. There's this thing called the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't fear the great white throne judgment, because I will never have to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And I'm thankful to God that I don't. But what I do dread is standing at the judgment seat of Christ for this very reason. I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for what I did and did not do for Jesus in this flesh. I'm going to have to give an account for that. I'm going to have to say what I did with all my time. And so whenever I look and I say something to, well, you know, God, I did this for you. You know, God, I went to church every Sunday. You know, God, and I read my Bible. You know, and you heard me say, I read the Bible in the morning, Brother Allen. But you know what? That's 10, 15, 20 minutes out of my morning. You understand? And then I go and live hours during the day. And how much of that time do I give to God? What is my investment in my daily walk with God? What is that compared to that? And so she said to herself, I have sought thee. And he asked a question. He asked this question. He said unto them, how is it that ye have sought me? So I have to ask myself, have I sought him as much as I should? Have I really been seeking him out in my life? Have I been seeking God's ways out in everything that I do? In every decision that I make, in every step that I take, do I seek him out? Because he's going to look me in the eye and he's going to say, did you really serve me with growing up in the freest country that's ever been implemented everywhere or anywhere in the history of the world? This is it. What'd you do with your free time, Sean? What'd you do? Did you really seek after me? Did you really seek me out? Was you about your father's business? Did you really seek me? Because you're claiming you sought me, Sean. You're claiming that you sought me out in your life. Did you really seek me out? Because that's the question. What did I do with the time that God gave me? What'd I do with it? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much time I got left. I don't have a clue. And we know that it could stop at any moment. Right, Daniel? Any moment. We could be driving to work. We could be coming home from work. We could be sitting at our desk and have a heart attack. We don't have any idea when this thing is going to be over. But I know this much. I need to be about my Father's business. I need to seek him out in everything that I do. I ought to seek God's ways out in my decisions. I mean, I'm telling you something. I think about this new job that I have. And I find myself praying in the morning for leadership and guidance through my day. And then sometimes I'm so busy, I don't pray those prayers like I ought to, Brother Allen. I need to have God's guidance in my life daily. I need to have him helping me make decisions, because I don't want to make these decisions. And I don't want him looking at it and say, when did you seek me, Sean? When did you seek me? How often did you seek me? How many days' journey did you go and you didn't know where I was at? And goes on to say this. It says, and the rest of this verse says, wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business. And that comes down to it. We must be about our Father's business. God goes on and on and on about some things that I think that we need to adhere to, that I need to adhere to. He says things like, blessed are the feet of them that preach the gospel. He says things like, how should they hear without a preacher? He says things like that over and over and over in the Bible. So it tells me what my job is. And it tells me that the fields are truly white to harvest. And what is my Father's business? And that's to see souls saved. The Bible goes on to tell me in Acts, I want you to turn to Acts 20:20. And this is something that's haunted me. And sometimes it's haunted me till I've actually had actions and done it. But most of the time, I just talk about it. It says in verse 20:20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. This is Paul speaking. He said unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Tells me something. This gospel is not just to be kept within the four walls or however many walls you would count here of this establishment. But it's something about my Father's business is about taking it out there from house to house. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be about my Father's business. Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate you guys. I love you. I look forward to coming to church all the time. I'm supposed to be painting a field right now, and so I'd rather be here for various reasons. I'd rather be here because I'd rather be here, and then I'd rather be here because I don't want to paint that field. but I'll actually have to leave here and go paint the field. But anyways, just continue to pray for our community. God is able to protect us, and I have immense confidence in the fact that God knows what's best, and the Bible says to forsake not assembling yourself together. That's what it says. And so I'm glad we're in this establishment together, and I don't care if the world calls it a super spreader. I don't care. I want to be in the congregation of God's people. I'm glad to be in a room with you guys, and I believe God will honor it. Is there anything else we have to go over tonight, brother? Does anybody have anything on your heart before we're dismissed? Brother Lloyd, you dismiss us, brother.